Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a fresh appeal has been lodged against the proposed redevelopment of the site of the Creaslaw explosion. Sinn Féin is accusing the Public Expenditure Minister of burying house figures in the lead-up to the general election. The North's Infrastructure Minister says she's keen to see the A5 progress without further delays. And funding of just over €11.2 million has been announced today for Killybegs Fishery Harbour Centre. Those stories do follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news this evening, a fresh appeal has been lodged against the proposed redevelopment of the site of the Creaslaw explosion. Damien Tansey's solicitors, on behalf of 10 bereaved family members, has submitted an appeal to Imbor Planola after Donegal County Council granted planning permission to demolish the existing building and rebuild a service station on the site of the explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people in October 2022. The families are challenging that decision on four separate grounds. In the submission, they say the planning application is untimely and premature, given that investigations are ongoing into the tragedy, and say that it would be insulting and disrespectful to rebuild on the same plot where their loved ones died. The families argue that neither the Stardust nightclub nor Grenfell Tower were rebuilt. In relation to a proposed memorial included in the plans, they say it is incredibly insensitive and have proposed a suitable memorial should be erected instead, following consultation with bereaved families. Sinn Féin is accusing the Public Expenditure Minister of burying house figures in the lead-up to the general election. The party says Jack Chambers knew the coalition wasn't going to deliver 40,000 homes and claims he deliberately misled the public. Minister Chambers is denying the accusations, but Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty, says he made false statements.
This document, I would argue, was always going to see the light of day. So why did the minister decide to actually say that black was white? Why did he decide to bury this information? And it's because of the election.
US President Donald Trump has threatened Europe with massive tariffs on alcohol exports. It's in response to the EU announcing a tax on American whiskey. Political correspondent Sean Defoe is in Washington.
After the politics of yesterday, Micheál Martin has been focusing on trade today. Donald Trump's pronouncement this morning on Truth Social probably highlights better than anything else could the uncertainty that's there for businesses, not just in America and Ireland, but around the globe as well. This morning, Mr. Trump saying that he is going to slap a 200% tariff on alcohol exports from the EU if the European Union doesn't back down on planned 50% tariffs on American whiskey. Micheál Martin is remaining optimistic and saying there's still time to reach a deal on all this.
I think the only, in my view, effective way to deal with this is through dialogue between the European Union and the United States government.
The Irish Whiskey Association, meanwhile, has called for the tariffs not to go ahead. Director Owen O'Cahan says if they do, it will have an impact not only on businesses but for consumers as well.
But that, of course, would have a knock-on effect, or could have a knock-on effect on the consumer.
After his trade meetings today, the Taoiseach will head to the Ireland Fund's gala dinner in Washington, D.C. tonight, where he's the guest of honour. Sean Defoe in Washington, D.C.
Funding of just over €11.2 million has been announced today for Killybegs Fishery Harbour Centre. It's part of a national fund of €27.75 million to modernise and enhance state-owned fishery harbour centres. The majority of the funding earmarked for Killybegs, €7 million, will go towards the third phase of Smooth Point works, while €2.5 million will be used to carry out works on the passenger embarkation pontoon. The North's Infrastructure Minister says she's keen to see the A5 progress without further delays. A public hearing on a judicial review being taken by objectors to the long-awaited infrastructure project is set to commence on Tuesday. Minister Liz Kimmins, speaking on a site visit to one of the locations where advanced works have been ongoing, says the road upgrade will ultimately save lives. She says it's owed to the people who lost their lives on the A5 to see the scheme progress. Interim works carried out in a bid to improve safety on Millbridge and Buncrana are said to be causing additional issues. A giveaway system was recently implemented on the bridge in response to ongoing calls to alleviate pedestrian safety issues on the busy route. This is now believed to have resulted in significant delays for motorists. Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, says this is further evidence that a new bridge is needed. He's appealing to the government to sanction the necessary funding needed to carry out the vital works.
There's considerable concern now from the St John's Park Riverview Tullidish area about access to the road and the backlog, traffic backlog has been caused there. And I suppose this was a response to very, very real concerns for pedestrian safety in that road, and the council, from the limited resources available to them, have acted. But it's now become evident that, or even more clearly evident, that the only solution to this problem is the widening of that bridge, and we need central government funding to do that. Failing that, I think we should have a pedestrian bridge to take pedestrians off the road but still facilitate two-way traffic on the road, because clearly, that the other efforts just aren't working at this point. So I'd once again calling on central government and Department of Transport to give the funding that is necessary to make this bridge safer for all who use it, both road users and pedestrians alike.
And has there been any reasoning given as to why the funding hasn't been forthcoming as of yet?
This clearly hasn't been a priority for central government for many years. This is running on years, if not decades. We've been calling for road safety at the Millbridge, and the council did respond, and rightly respond, to concerns for pedestrian safety. But we can see now that while that may be addressed, it's now causing new problems. And clearly, it's now more evident than ever before that we need a new bridge, we need the bridge widened, but failing that, we need a pedestrian bridge to take pedestrians off the road and allow traffic to move safely across the door.
Vladimir Putin says his country agrees with the US proposals for a ceasefire in Ukraine. However, the position is based on a number of assumptions. The Russian president says there are lots of questions and he needs to speak to Donald Trump first. He also claims the Kursk region is completely under Moscow's control now and that his forces are on the offensive.
We agree with the proposals for the ceasefire. Our position is based on the assumption that the ceasefire would lead to a long-term peace, something that would remove the initial reasons for the crisis.
There's call for greater enforcement of bylaws governing e-scooters. Donegal County Council is to seek a meeting with Gardaí to discuss the use of e-scooters in Letterkenny on foot of motions brought forward this week by Councillors Jimmy Kavanagh and Jerry McMonagall. E-scooter users are prohibited from using them on footpaths or carrying passengers. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says how e-scooters are allowed to operate currently poses a serious risk to public safety.
The concern is around safety, not around e-scooters as such, but there doesn't seem to be any real enforcement or regulation around it. People are using them on footpaths, carrying passengers as well. They're doing extremely dangerous stuff, I think, with them, and there has been serious accidents. We need a system that, as well, where there's some sort of training. Even done on the issue of helmets and high-vis jackets and that, it's not compulsory to wear them. It's only, you know, advised that you wear them. So that needs to be a lot stronger. As well, there's fixed penalties, sort of no more than £50 for things that are quite serious, like using them on footpaths and things like that. And it's not a matter of going and trying to drive an e-bike off the road. We don't want to do that. Obviously, as you're aware, we're trying our best to get more cars off the road, and e-bikes are part of that solution. But we need to have it done in a way that the rules of the road are being obeyed. But we do want to see them used. Great for students, for example. Great for anyone that's living in the town and working in the town. And it can help with getting traffic down. But it needs to be done properly, and it's not been done properly at the moment.
One of the key points of the discussion this week was that there needs to be a meeting between the council and Gardaí, because the point that's being made by council officials is that, look, this is a matter ultimately for Gardaí.
Yeah, it is, but we need to cooperate. The regulations as they sit at the moment on these things are not strong enough, and I think people need to have some level of training. You can travel at 20 kilometres per hour, you can go faster than that, and if you had a pedestrian at that, it's dangerous. If you had a child at that, it could be fatal. It is a serious matter.
60 people are waiting on a hospital bed in the northwest today. According to the INMO, 33 admitted patients are on a trolley at Letterkenny University Hospital, the fourth highest figure in the country. 9 of them are waiting in the hospital's emergency department. At Sligo University Hospital, meanwhile, 27 patients are awaiting a bed, 18 of them in the emergency department. 440 admitted patients are waiting on a bed at hospitals across the country. Gardaí will be out in force over the coming days, conducting high-visibility patrols across Donegal. A new road safety campaign will take place this weekend with a particular focus on drink or drug driving. The operation came into place at 7 o'clock this morning. So far this year, 32 people have died on the roads, 8 fewer than this time last year. On this week's Community Garda information slot, Garda Grainne Doherty urged drivers to take precautions before taking to the roads after a night out.
Unfortunately, it does seem to be when public holidays come about, the weekends of public holidays, the rates of fatal and serious injury collisions do intend to rise. We're conscious of that. And as always, Gardaí will be out on the roads. They'll be conducting high visibility patrols and checkpoints right across the Donegal division this upcoming bank holiday weekend, St Patrick's weekend. We're appealing to everybody, the usual road safety appeal, please drive safely. If you intend to go out socialising over the weekend, plan ahead, book a lift home in advance, get a taxi, bring a designated driver. Do not, under any circumstances, get behind the wheel while you're under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And also, please ensure the following morning that you're in a state fit to drive. 11% of fatal drink driving collisions happen the morning after. In fact, quite a few arrests do occur out on the roads the morning after for drink and drug driving, you know. So just anybody that is going out, you know, make sure that you have your wits about you the next day, that you have a good breakfast, that you wait a good number of hours and make sure that you're fit to drive. Don't take chances.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoes for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with horse racing, and it's day three of the Cheltenham Festival. It's been a brilliant afternoon's racing for Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead. With the details, here's Dave Keena.
A great day has gotten better for Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead. They won the opener with air of entitlement, and they've doubled their tally when Bob Ollinger got the better of Tiepo to win the feature event, the Paddy Power Stairs Hurdle. An earlier fact of file run out, a resounding winner of the other grade one of the card, the Ryanair Chase for Willie Mullins and Mark Walsh. In association with Paddy Power News, for all your Cheltenham festival tips, I'm Dave Keena.
Elsewhere today, the Paul Nicholls-trained Caldwell Potter claimed the Grade 2 Jack Richard Novices Limited Handicap Chase, while Dotty the Great, with Brian Hughes on board, has just stormed home in the Pertemps Network Final Handicap Hurdle at 25-1. Moving on to soccer, Manchester United welcome Real Sociedad in the second leg of their last 16 tie in the Europa League tonight. The sides will resume level at 1-1 at Old Trafford, where kickoff is at 8. Elsewhere, Tottenham Hotspur need to come from behind to win their last 16 tie against AZ Alkmaar, having lost the first leg 1-0 last week. Spurs goalkeeper Guillermo Vicario says the team remain fully behind their under-pressure boss Ange Postecoglou, and says it's on the team to deliver a performance tonight.
I think we are used to deal with pressure day by day because we play every 3 days. We know the importance of the game for everyone here at the football club, for us players, for the fans especially. With all the support we're gonna have in the stadium will be an exciting night. We are ready for that.
Kickoff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is at 8. At the same time, in the Conference League, Chelsea are likely to make a late call on Cole Palmer ahead of their second leg tie against FC Copenhagen. The 22-year-old was suffering with an illness last week. Palmer hasn't scored since mid-January and missed a penalty in the Premier League for the first time ever at the weekend. Enzo Maresca has backed his star player to bounce back quickly.
Absolutely. I said after the game, Cole is going to miss more penalty. And the reason why is because the one in charge of to shoot penalty. If you don't shoot, you don't miss. And I don't think that the other day penalty affect him in a negative way.
Chelsea take a 2-1 lead into tonight's game. Well, the Republic of Ireland men's head coach Heimir Hallgrímsson has given first-time call-ups to Watford duo James Abankwa and Rocco Vatta. Fit again goalkeeper Gavin Bazunu, Will Smallbone and Sinclair Armstrong all return ahead of the Nations League playoff against Bulgaria next week. Liam Scales, Ryan Manning and Andrew Moran are among those to have been left out. Vada is also eligible to represent Albania and Scotland through his parents, but qualifies for Ireland via a maternal grandparent. Hallgrímsson explains what the 19-year-old has to offer.
His qualities that he can bring to the table did well for the under-21s, and he gives something different. He can be a game changer, so that is what we see in him now. He can come in and do things, amazing things like he has shown for Watford. So that's the reason.
Abbey Vocational School were beaten 1-0 by Wexford CBS in today's FAI Schools Tom Titcher Under-17 Junior National Cup semi-final for large schools. A Charlie Mullen strike just before the break put the Southerners in control as they led at the break. The Donegal Town School pressed for an equaliser and went close through Jack Bennett, but Wexford held on to progress to the national final. In rugby, interim head coach Simon Easterby has made six changes to his starting team to face Italy in the Six Nations at the weekend, with Gary Ringrose returning from suspension. Jack Conan, Mac Hansen, James Lowe and James Ryan have also been included, while Tadhg Furlong makes the bench after recovering from a calf injury. Out half, Jack Crowley will make his first start of the campaign. In golf, play on day one of the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass is underway. Shane Lowry is level par through 15 holes of his opening round. Seamus Power is 5 over after 12 holes in Florida. Rory McIlroy is among the evening starters. In boxing, Lisa O'Rourke is in quarterfinal action in the 70kg division of the Women's World Championships in Serbia today. The Roscommon native faces Morocco's Saïda Lamidi in the evening session, which starts at 6 o'clock Irish time. Her sister, Aoife O'Rourke, faces Aziza Zokirova of Uzbekistan in the 75kg section. Finally, just to look ahead to the score programme between 7 and 8 tonight, Joe Boyle joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat as we look ahead to this weekend's games for Finn Harps and Derry City. Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News takes a look at the penultimate round of games in the National League for the North Western Counties this weekend. And Killian Duffy of On the Pace Note previews this weekend's West Cork Rally, the first round of this year's Irish Tarmac Championship. That is all coming up after the 7 o'clock news later this evening. Back to you, Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. For weather now, there will be some bright or sunny spells and well scattered showers this evening. Frost will form in some areas tonight as lowest temperatures fall to between -1 and +4 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. A fresh appeal has been lodged against the proposed redevelopment of the site of the Creeslaw explosion. Damien Tansey's solicitors, on behalf of 10 bereaved family members, has submitted an appeal to Mór Pleanála after Donegal County Council granted planning permission to demolish the existing building and rebuild a service station on the site of the explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people in October 2022. Sinn Féin is accusing the Public Expenditure Minister of burying housing figures in the lead-up to the general election. The party says Jack Chambers knew the coalition wasn't going to deliver 40,000 homes and claims he deliberately misled the public. Funding of just over €11.2 million has been announced today for Killybegs Fishery Harbour Centre. It's part of a national fund of €27.75 million to modernise and enhance state-owned fishery harbour centres. And the North Infrastructure Minister says she's keen to see the A5 progress without further delays. A public hearing on a judicial review being taken by objectors to the long-awaited infrastructure project is set to commence on Tuesday. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The annual general meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the Irish Farmers Association was held last night in the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny. The special guest was IFA Deputy President Alice Doyle, who gave a comprehensive and insightful update on a range of farm-related topics. We'll hear from her shortly, but first, Donegal has a new representative on the National Farm Business Committee of the IFA. Shannon Porter, who is well known in the Newton Cunningham and Carrigan's area, was elected to the position following a vote. She defeated the outgoing Donegal representative Andrew McShay from Ballyshannon. Well, Shannon is from a strong farming background. In 2021, she set up a milk vending business and has won a number of awards. She's a graduate of Harper Adams University in England, which specialises in agriculture and farming education. Well, I spoke to her afterwards and began by saying that it must have been a proud moment for her to get elected.
Yeah, it really is. I'm absolutely shocked. It just shows all your hard work has paid off, and I greatly appreciate all the people who've voted for me here tonight. Can't thank them enough for coming here.
Now, of course, this just didn't happen by accident. You have put in a little bit of work. For those people who maybe don't know much about you, steeped in a farming background, and you've got obviously an entrepreneurial flair, because from a relatively young age, you went down and set up your own business.
Yes, so back in September 2021, I set up the milk bar on the farm, so we diversified it, and we set up a milk vending machine. So we're selling our pasteurised milk from our cows at home, and we're going down the route of selling into coffee shops and restaurants as well. So that's my own business, as well as I'm a chairperson of the Newton IFA Newton branch, and I was very lucky as well to be got onto the future lead program of IFA as well. So they're going to like train us up to be future leaders on behalf of themselves.
There are a number of commodity committees within the IFA. The farm business one, why did that interest you in particular?
Well, I just think, I suppose, I have my own business. I set up my own business. I'm a young entrepreneur. I thought I had plenty of time to support us farmers in the Donegal and go to that national level with us. And I suppose as well, I work for Smith Steel Side there in Ballindrate. So like, I'm listening to farmers' stories every day, and I thought I would like, listening to those stories, go and do something about it and get their stories heard.
Now, it was interesting here tonight, we had the Deputy President of the IFA, Alice Doyle, here, and she made reference to the fact that there's a lot of women here tonight, there's a lot of young people here, and I think she actually said that Donegal is bucking the trend, and, you know, that must be seen as a positive.
It's fabulous to see, and it's great to say that Donegal is one of the best. It just shows we're one big family. I think Donegal, we're always known as one big family, and it's great. And as we always say, lady farmers are nearly the best, and they're always on time and punctual, and they look after and care things better. Maybe I'm being biased, but no, I think us lady farmers, I think we need the credit for it, and it's great that Alice pointed that out to us here tonight.
There's always talking points in the farming communities. There's always challenges, but I take it you're pretty upbeat about the future in Donegal and indeed in Ireland.
There's definitely challenges ahead, and it's very, very difficult for us young farmers coming on, and it's worrying times. I do believe that's probably why a young person needs to get involved in those roles. At the same time, it's exciting times, but worrying times at the same time, and I'm looking forward to learn more, and I'm really looking forward to this future lead programme as well with IFA to understand more of the policies and get to understand the full background. With that IFA Future Lead Programme, we get to go to Brussels, we get to see the whole story that goes on behind the IFA, and I'm looking forward to that and to be able to bring that across the board here in IFA.
And that was Shannon Porter, the new Donegal IFA Farm Business Representative, and that was the only contested position on the executive at the AGM. Meanwhile, Pedigo farmer Willie Kelly has been awarded honorary life membership of the IFA in recognition of his long service and contribution to the organisation, and he was presented with a framed certificate to mark the occasion. As mentioned, Alice Doyle, the IFA Deputy President, was the special guest. I spoke with her afterwards about a number of issues she raised, namely GAIAC 2 and peatlands.
There's been a lot of confusion about exactly where things are, so bring us right up to date.
The most up-to-date we have is that GAIAC 2 came in February. It was brought in by the Ministry, even though we had asked for it to be deferred for and hope it would come in under simplification later on in the year. But anyway, it's in now. But the main thing is, and we had a meeting last Thursday with the Minister's main officials, the three main officials in Athlone, where they addressed over 300 farmers and explained to them that under GAIAC 2, there are four main elements of GAIAC 2. They will affect people who are on peatlands who have in the Lipsis parcels of over 50% of their Lipsis parcel is in peatland. That will be considered in GAIAC 2. So the four things that apply are, the first one is that you can, from say ploughing, there's two, you can plough no deeper than 30 centimetres. And anybody who is on arable land, they can plough every year, but no deeper than 30 centimetres. And if you're on grassland, you can plough once in 4 years, and again, no deeper than 30 centimetres. The other part of that is when it comes to drainage, and that's the one I think where a lot of people have queries. If you already have drained land, you can retain the drains, you can maintain the drains. And if that means, you know, digging down to maintain them, that's not an issue. You can't deepen the drains, you can't go deepen the drains. And the other part of that is that if you want to put in, if you want to drain new land, you know, land that needs to be drained, but it's new land and never has been drained before, you have to get planning permission. But that exists as even as it stands. to do drain fresh land, you have to get planning permission. But that is an issue for farmers, and they were very worried about that. But that has been cleared up, I think. Now, it's not simple, and people are always worried that if you start down this line of restricting what people can do on their farms, that it can get more severe later on in years to come. But the minister's officials absolutely assured the audience last Thursday night that as it stands, it will have very little impact on most farmers, and that they will not be overly severe when it comes to inspections. They have said about 30 inspections in the year is all will be done, and it will be very much the onus will be on the department to prove a wrong rather than the farmer to have to prove that he is innocent.
And finally, acres is causing so many problems for so many farmers. You described it as being a bit like the Titanic. It really is a sinking ship.
It is, and unfortunately it has left a very bad taste in the mouth of most farmers. A scheme that was supposed to be, as I said, the flagship. I think it was so complicated from day one. It had too many elements in it, too complicated, and no return for the farmer. And that's the biggest problem, that you put in all the work, you do all the work, you do all the paperwork, you do all the physical work, and then you have no return. Get the money, you have no return, because it's gone, the money is gone before you get. But the biggest problem has been the delay in payment. And we've gone into the department numerous times to find out what the problem is. And the problem is, it's the IT system. And, in the beginning I couldn't accept that. I can now, not that I accept it, but I can understand maybe why it is the way it is. It was so complicated that they're trying to build an IT system as they go along, because every day they're finding a new part to the scheme that they designed that wasn't part of the programme to pay it out. So at the moment we're down to about 2,500 people from 2023 that haven't been paid, and about 10,500 from 2024. The minister has assured us that all of those payments will be made by May of this year. Now, that's still way too late, but look, at least now they're telling us, and they better have them paid by May or there will be war, I can tell you. But he says there will be, because the next set of payments, the second half of all of those payments, the top-ups should be coming in May. So they're hoping to have all of these cleared, so they'll have a clear run at the second lot, so there should be no delays in the second lot of payments.
And whatever replaces acres, it can only be better.
Well, it certainly can't be worse, because that's unimaginable. But we have made it very clear to the department, and it's coming through both from European level and I think even at our own national level, that schemes coming in will have to have a farmer input into it, into the design, because we can't have schemes designed that look well on a computer, but when you try to put them into reality or you try to make them practical, they're not practical. And even the Commissioner Hanson has very clearly said that farmers are overburdened with regulation, but they're also overburdened with paperwork. And whatever we get, it has to come in a simplified form. We're happy to comply with regulation if it's reasonable, and if we're not spend half our day trying to fill in paperwork to comply. And there is a move in that direction. Now, I would be a little concerned as to how fast that movement is, but it's better at least to see the direction, see it going in the right direction.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, March the 13th. The death has occurred of Veronica Doohan, née McClafferty, formerly of Balnam Main Road, Fulcara, and Killlock Cairn, Creaslaw, remains reposing at her late residence. Rosary tonight at 9:15 and tomorrow night at 9:00. House private each day after the rosary until 11 o'clock and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass will take place in St Finian's Church, Fulcara, on Saturday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Michael O'Donnell, St Peter's Terrace, Chapel Road, Dunloe. Michael's remains will be reposing in McGlynn's funeral home tomorrow afternoon from 1 o'clock, with rosary at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, followed by cremation in Lakeland's crematorium at a later date. The death has occurred of Fred Aiken, 20 Oak Grove, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service in the Presbyterian Church, Dunfanaghy, on Saturday at 12 noon, followed by burial in Ballymore Graveyard. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock to 12 noon. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 3, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Anne McLaughlin, Owen, Convent Road at Carndonagh and formerly of Glengard. Anne's remains are reposing at the Oratory, Connolly Homes at Mallon Town until 9 o'clock tonight and tomorrow from 12 noon to 9 o'clock. Fiona from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Patrick's Church on High Clay, followed by private cremation. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member or McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Ursula McGlinchey, née Henry, Breffni, Gortley, Letterkenny, County Donegal, formerly Maryville, Sligo. House is strictly private at the request of the deceased. Funeral mass at 12 noon on Saturday in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrean, Letterkenny, which can be viewed online via the parish webcam, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if wished to Remelton Community Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Breach Bradley, late of 25 Lisnamon Court, Derry, and formerly of Drumcannon, Crossroads, Killigordon, reposing at the family home at Drumcannon. Funeral from the family home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. A shuttle bus service will be in operation today and tomorrow from Glenealy School between 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock. And the death has taken place of Jean Eanie Stevenson, née Stewart, Clockcore, Killigordon. Her remains are reposing at her home. House private to family and close friends only, please. Everyone is welcome for a service of Thanksgiving in Dunamore Presbyterian Church tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to the Haematology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital and the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.